Back up top, shot through traffic, save made. Follow-up try, that one hits a body in front, and a score! It's a score! It's a score! And the Ice Bears have a 4-3 lead with 30 seconds remaining in the hockey game. Oh, what a hit! Welcome to the SPHL in Knoxville! Comes in on the right side, through the right circle, taking it and fed across, they score! Oh, yes! And the Ice Bears win 3-2 in overtime!
Welcome to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. I appreciate you taking the time to check out and listen to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast, whether doing so on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the show. A lot to unpack since our last episode. Knoxville's finished a four-game week. We had a chance to recap the game last Tuesday on December 26th since our last episode, but three more games since then. Now Knoxville goes into the calendar year of 2024. Still more than half the season left to be played. A little bit of roster news to get to, and then kind of a look around what's happening with the rest of the SPHL. So we'll get right into it. Knoxville looking at its second six-game losing streak of the season. Obviously, these six-game skids are very, very different. The one that Knoxville went at the start of the year, all six losses were in regulation. Five of them were by three goals or more. And Knoxville really looked out of sorts throughout the entire course of that six-game skid. Brent Clark resigns. Andrew Harrison comes in. Knoxville wins eight of their next 11 games as Harrison gets Knoxville back into the playoff hunt. And then after a week off due to the ice conditions at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum not being attended to by the city of Knoxville, the Ice Bears have a week off, kind of stunts the momentum a little bit from a five-game win streak. And then to top it off, Knoxville deals with a little bit of attrition. Jordy Stallard and Marco Costantini, Knoxville's first-line center and one of their primary goalies, are both called up to the ECHL after being named Player of the Week. So Knoxville wins five games in a row, loses two key pieces to that five-game win streak, and then suddenly Knoxville's having to transition into playing without those guys. And while Knoxville competed, they lose the first two games in that four-game homestead to Birmingham and Quad City. Knoxville, able to stay in those games, had first-period leads or going into the first intermission into the second in both of those games, but ultimately lost two close games. And obviously very tough with the penalty luck that happened in the Quad City game with the back-to-back delay of game penalties. And then the following week is when the illness started to bleed into the locker room. So guys playing sick on December 26th, no Cole McKechnie, no Justin Levesque. So Knoxville's playing short. Ice Bears battle, end up losing that game 4-3. Guys continue to get sick. Joshua Carlson gets sick to the point that he can't even practice. So they get Levesque and McKechnie back. They're, you know, feeling better, and it looked like they were playing better by the time we got to Sunday. But first game back after having to miss a game, you haven't played in, in more than a week. So obviously just kind of difficult to deal with that, especially when you're still overcoming the sickness instead of being fully past it. But I thought those guys, you started to see the improvement, that they started to feel better by the time, you know, the weekend progressed and got to Sunday, which was good to see. But no Joshua Carlson. Tyler Rolo missed one of those games as well. Rolo made the trip to Fayetteville and Roanoke on Saturday and Sunday, was able to play. But just a lot of, you know, a lot of tough situations with roster attrition. So Knoxville's last four games, they have not been able to skate with a full 16-skater lineup. You know, at one point, the Ice Bears were down to eight forwards. Seth Enzer was having to play forward. They were working with 5D pretty much the entire time. So just not a very ideal situation. Dawson McKinney did not make the trip to Fayetteville and Roanoke, so did not appear in these last two games that went to overtime. And it's obviously very tough to deal with that, but I think when you look at this six-game losing streak, you kind of see the difference in the overall team culture. So Knoxville has a six-game stretch where four of those games, it doesn't have a full lineup, and it's lost Jordy Stallard, it's lost Marco Costantini, Cam Huff has opted to go to France, and with the exception of the game on December 29th against Fayetteville, which obviously was not good, there's nothing that you can really take away from that was very positive. You know, Knoxville had chances that they didn't convert on, the odd man rushes just weren't being executed well. When they had opportunities, they weren't putting the puck on net. They were missing shot opportunities. They had breakaways that they couldn't get past Ryan Kenny. And then in the back end, okay, a couple of tough bounces, but You know, Knoxville had some defensive breakdowns. There were a couple of goals that I think both Karpinski and Coburn would have wanted to have back. Obviously, never ideal when you play both of your goalies in the same game. The 9-1 game on December 29th was a disaster. Nobody's going to try to argue otherwise. But you look at the six-game stretch, the Birmingham game, which Knoxville lost 4-2, that's with an empty netter at the end. So the Ice Bears competing in that one in the third period. It was 2-1 with less than 4 minutes to go in regulation before, you know, a takeaway in the neutral zone led to a goal to make it 3-1. Knoxville gets one back, gives up an empty net goal. So a game that was competitive for more than 55 minutes of hockey. Then you have the Quad City game, one goal loss. You have the Roanoke game on December 26th, one goal loss. You have the blowout on Friday, December 29th, and then you have back-to-back overtime losses on the road without a full lineup. And then the game at Roanoke on New Year's Eve, you only have 14 skaters, and then Brady Florence knocked out of the game and doesn't return just 6 minutes into the second. So, look, the results need to be better. Going 0-4-2 in a six-game stretch is not ideal, but when you look at what this team has had to deal with, and you're talking about six losses to six talented teams, whereas at the beginning of the season, you know, Fayetteville was still trying to find their rhythm a little bit. The two losses to Birmingham, the two shutout losses that Knoxville suffered at the beginning of the year, that was before Brian Bowen got there. So, kind of at a time where Birmingham, you could argue they're better now than they were back then, and Knoxville's still finding a way to compete with them now on a short lineup. Fayetteville, again, as I mentioned, still trying to find its way after the early season losses to Roanoke on opening weekend. Macon, who, you know, I think was playing a little bit better in October than November, and as you know, came up with a nice win over Evansville over the weekend. Went through a really tough stretch through most of December. But I think when you look at the overall prognosis of what Knoxville's dealing with, it's a team that's still going out and competing. Yes, they're getting outshot, but goaltenders are working hard and making a lot of saves to keep guys in games. I think the team's playing tougher. It's trying to find a way to grind. It's trying to find a way to make things work. And sometimes you need to have that mentality if you want to scrap and claw your way to wins. And so you could look at a lot of other teams in this league this year and years past and say, okay, a six-game stretch where four games you're playing, you know, a minimum of two guys short. A couple of your best offensive players aren't available. You don't have your first-line center. You don't have one of your first-line wingers. Another one of your top wingers it ultimately doesn't make a trip for two of those games. You've got guys that are sick. You've got other guys that are playing less than 100%. You're missing one of your top goalies from a five-game win streak that you just had, and you're going to get outshot in every single game heavily. Well, you know, a lot of teams would not have competed in five of those six losses. And so while, again, the results need to be better, wins, you know, eventually points need to turn into wins, there's at least something that you can take away from this six-game win streak that says, hey, maybe when this team gets healthy and maybe when they have a full 16-skater lineup, maybe those results will start to even out a little bit instead of coming up short on a night-in, night-out basis. Now, the team still needs to go out and execute. They've got to go out and prove that they can do that. But as somebody that is on the bus with these guys and kind of gets to see inside the locker room a little bit more, I think the morale is still in a good spot. I think the chemistry is still in a good spot. And I think guys still have belief with more than 30 games left in the season. I know you might be thinking, well, they better have belief. I mean, there's more than half the season left, but it hasn't been an issue where there's finger pointing and guys are wanting to get out and things of that nature. So I think it's overall, you know, it could have gone so much worse if you had said in mid-December, hey, your next six games, you're going to drop all six of them. I think, you know, coming away with 2 points on the road, and then especially following up a 9-1 loss at home to then having to play that same Fayetteville team and giving up a goal 35 seconds in, you're thinking, oh man, here we go again. Instead, Knoxville competed, made some big plays. Brady Florent had a really big night, and Troy Coburn did his part to help get Knoxville to overtime. And then the following night, Knoxville, you know, takes a couple of bad penalties in the first period, end up with a first period deficit. They play their best second period of this six-game stretch against Roanoke at the Berglund Center, which is a tough place to play. They get, you know, they finally get a goal from Derek Osick. They get a goal from Justin Portillo. Osick gets his second in the third period. Rex Moe scores for the first time since October 20th. And after Brady Florent goes out early in the second, you know, a bunch of guys that hadn't put the puck on net a whole lot this year for the Ice Bears step up in a big way. And those are things that you want to see, you know. So, you know, Florent right now, his status, as far as I know, I haven't heard anything about his status for this upcoming weekend. But what we do know is that you have other guys that are starting to kind of find their way a little bit. And so to see Rex Moe and Cole McKechnie and Derek Osick and Justin Portillo all make plays up front, those are the things that Knoxville needs a little bit more consistently to get that scoring depth that can help them in the long run. But you went and put up four goals on just 21 shots against one of the better goaltenders in the league in Austin Rodebush, and all four goals came off of rebounds or second chance opportunities. And that's something that Knoxville needs to do a better job of, is crashing the crease and locating the puck once it gets there. And they did a great job of that. Kirill Nishnikov had his best game as an Ice Bear. I thought Brendan Dowler had a great game on Sunday. Osick obviously getting the two goals. And I thought for the most part, Knoxville, you know, after a bit of an undisciplined first period, I thought stayed within its own skill set to compete and make that a really tough third period. And I think Knoxville would have liked to have had that third period back in some ways against Roanoke, with the, you know, pass from the left wing corner getting into the slot, allowing Brendan Stanko to score that one goal, and, you know, a couple of rebounds that were given up. And so obviously tough. And then I think Troy Coburn just kind of was anticipating pass from Dominik Marcinkiewicz in the right circle, and instead Marcinkiewicz is able to shoot it in off the back of him that, you know, unfortunately kills the overtime period in just 22 seconds, and Roanoke gets the win. But I don't think either Roanoke or Fayetteville would have expected going to overtime after watching what happened on Friday night with Knoxville losing 9-1. And it's easily one of the worst losses in the history of the franchise, but I think when you look at the rest of the six-game skid, I don't think that's the norm. And I think there's been evidence to suggest that the team's going to continue to go out and compete, especially if they can get healthy and stay healthy once this flu-like disease gets out of the locker room. And obviously, I think that there's still, you know, movements being made in terms of making sure that the team is in the best spot it can be from a personnel standpoint. So we'll see how all of that plays out as we move forward. As far as the roster, Dawson McKinney is expected to be back and playing this weekend. Joshua Carlson has returned to practice, so it appears that, you know, having the weekend off, he was able to recover. So did see him at practice earlier in the week. Marco Costantini has returned to the team from his stint in the ECHL with Idaho. So he is back, was gone for about 3 weeks, appeared in one game, made three saves in 8 minutes, didn't give up a goal. So didn't see a ton of action up in the coast with the Steelheads, but did come back and was back at practice on Wednesday morning. Troy Coburn has been released. Just kind of a tough situation because you had a bunch of goalies that actually played really well. You have Zane Steves, who's still on the IR. Cody Karpinski and Troy Coburn both played really well over the last two weekends. And I think for, you know, Costantini, obviously the Ice Bears know what he can do, and so it was kind of a tough decision to make. I thought Coburn went out and really competed well. But it's a decision that, you know, you had to make. You can't have four goalies on the roster, so Coburn is gone, and Marco Costantini has returned to the Ice Bears, has returned to the locker room. He was at practice Wednesday morning, so I would expect to see him sometime soon, with the Ice Bears having three games in 3 days in three different cities coming up this weekend, starting Friday in Fayetteville. So the Ice Bears getting ready for the same two teams that they just saw in kind of a similar situation, just a little bit out of order. Instead, the Ice Bears will end the weekend at home on Sunday at 5 o'clock. So the Ice Bears will have to play Saturday in Roanoke at 7 o'clock Eastern time, play the game, turn around, get back, and then get ready for a 5 o'clock puck drop. So obviously going to be very tough. Tickets are still available at KnoxvilleIceBears.com. And this is the makeup game from December 15th, so it's Lord of the Rink night to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the theatrical release of The Return of the King. So if you had tickets to that game on the 15th, they will still be honored this upcoming Sunday at 5 o'clock at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. So looking around the rest of the league, hasn't been a whole lot of movements in the standings, though Roanoke has made their way into a top four spot. Pensacola has lost three straight. Roanoke has points in seven of their last 10. So they have started to make some moves upward in the right direction. Huntsville still kind of hovering around six. Pensacola has slid to fifth. And then Quad City, Evansville, Knoxville making still on that bottom four. So there hasn't been a ton of drastic movement in one way or another. And we're kind of getting to that point in the season now where things are going to typically start to kind of play out, where maybe you have two or three teams fighting for one tier of spots, and then there's another tier and another tier. So obviously if a team goes on a major slump or goes on a rapid tear, that can obviously change. But for the most part, you start to kind of get a picture of where teams could potentially fall. But personnel changes can play a difference in that. And there was one notable trade that happened over the New Year's holiday between Pensacola and Peoria. So the Ice Flyers sent defenseman Mears Moore and Jason Dobe, along with forward Dante Zabata, to Peoria in exchange for defenseman Dale Dion, winger Adam Keys, and center and Peoria's leading scorer, Joseph Widmar. Obviously, it's very notable and raises some eyebrows whenever a team trades their leading scorer, especially for, you know, a guy in Zabata who has 15 points on the season, but he hasn't been that point-per-game player that, you know, other guys on Pensacola's roster have been, such as Garrett Milan or Ivan Bondarenko, who, you know, of course, is one of the better setup men in the league, and then Brett McCrones, who's had a really phenomenal season. And so it's really there's a lot of depth up front for Pensacola, and they've just added to that by acquiring Widmar. And then for Peoria, you know, sometimes we've seen Jean-Guy Trudel do stuff like this over the years, and with the success that he's had with the Rivermen, it, you know, obviously shows that maybe he sees something with these three pieces that he believes can work in his locker room. So Pensacola gets a little bit of experience up front and on the back end. And then they have another guy to work with in Adam Keys as well. But for Pensacola, it's, you know, they get those guys to add. Peoria is adding depth because it's not like Peoria is suddenly devoid of talent. You know, they obviously have, you know, the former MVP in Alec Bear. They've got, in, you know, an all-SPHL caliber player in Alec Hageman. Brendan Blazak, a guy who can certainly make plays. And then, you know, two more. I feel bad calling them depth pieces, but they're really good hockey players in J.M. Petrowski and Caden Cahill. Those guys are really, really good, and they're solid on the back end as well with Zach Wilkie, who's arguably one of the best defensemen in the league. So it's, you know, it's very always very interesting to see stuff like this happen, but it's not like Peoria is trading away the one piece that it had. You know, they've been a top four team for pretty much the entire season, and they've, you know, now have a little bit of depth to add behind some of those top line guys that they've boasted throughout the majority of the season. Interesting games coming up this week because now Peoria and Pensacola play each other on Thursday. So a quick turnaround after those two teams swap three players each. Of course, Knoxville will be at Fayetteville on Friday. Macon battles Pensacola. So the Ice Flyers, who have played pretty well at home, have not played as well on the road, now go to Macon to try to stop a three-game skid. Roanoke, which has played pretty good hockey lately, now gets to host Birmingham. Should be a pretty interesting atmosphere over at the Berglund Center. The hottest team in the league is going into one of the toughest places to play, and Birmingham is used to playing in front of those crowds. But, you know, it's definitely a matchup that I think everybody's paying attention to. And then Quad City and Evansville, and then to wrap up Friday, Huntsville will host Peoria. So all 10 teams in the league in action this Friday night. Very, very excited to see how the second half of the season kind of starts to play out as we approach the halfway point. And obviously Knoxville has to be better. It needs the results, but I think there's still confidence within that locker room that the results are going to come if the guys continue to battle and compete. And they know that things need to change. And the latter weeks of December are always a little bit difficult because you don't get a ton of practices in. You're playing six games in 10 days, and then you've got the holidays on top of that. So really, when you look at the schedule for Knoxville, there's, you know, really only about two practice days in there. Because you're playing on the 22nd, 23rd, everybody gets the 24th and the 25th off. Then you play on the 26th, having, you know, maybe worked out but not really getting ice time. Then you have the 27th and the 28th to get ready for a three-game weekend. So it's always, you know, it's always a little weird, and different teams handle them in different fashions. I thought that there were times where Knoxville played really well. I thought the game on Saturday at Fayetteville, I thought the last 3 minutes of regulation, Knoxville actually looked like the better team. And Fayetteville definitely dominated puck possession. They dominated shots on goal, and Coburn really had to work hard to force that game to overtime. But I thought that the last 3 minutes, Knoxville really started to get their footing and compete in overtime, and they almost had a rush right off the bat in the extra period. And then, you know, Knoxville gets called for a boarding penalty, and Fayetteville's able to capitalize on the man advantage. So, you know, you get some tough breaks, but I think when you get out competed like that for the majority of 60 minutes and you find a way to still grab a point, I think it still goes to show that there's some toughness, there's some belief, you know, teams aren't giving up. And I think it would have been really easy for Evansville. At one point, you know, they were completely down and out. They were being limited to like one goal a game the majority of the time through the first dozen games or so. And, you know, lately they've been playing really good hockey and they've gotten themselves back into the playoff conversation. So obviously there's a long way to go, which teams are going to get stronger, which teams are going to fade. Obviously ECHL call-ups and what happens with the college graduate swing coming up in a couple of months. A lot of different things can happen. Guys can come over from Europe and decide to come back. And so there's a lot of different avenues in which teams can bolster their roster between now and then. And then obviously trades seem to be pretty lively. Fayetteville and Macon made a couple, getting Jamie Dorsey and Tim Faulkner. So there are pieces being moved around for different teams as we speak. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. We'll have the call for you this Friday night as Knoxville takes on Fayetteville at 7 o'clock Eastern time at Crown Coliseum. Road game watch party at Union Place Bar and Grill on Chambliss Avenue in Bearden. And again, you can always listen for free on the Knoxville Ice Bears game day app. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for listening to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast.